We're back for another edition of the Half Court Press. I'm John Niatawa, joined by Chris Hetty. Got a lot to talk about.
Oh, boy.
So let's just get right into
it.
We'll start with the news of the day. It's Monday, and just a few hours ago, it was leaked, released, reported that Nebraska is reaching out. You help me with the wording here.
Yeah.
Nebraska's reaching out to Fred Hoiberg.
Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg are in talks about his employment at Nebraska. Nebraska wants to hire Fred Hoiberg
even though it hasn't yet fired Tim Miles.
Even though they haven't fired Tim Miles yet, Nebraska is very interested in hiring Fred Hoiberg and making him the head coach at Nebraska, which is awkward and weird because Tim Miles is currently the head coach at Nebraska. He is operating under the assumption that he is going to continue to be.
And they still have games left.
They still have at least one game left on Wednesday against Butler and potentially five.
And then the other thing is that athletic director Bill Moose released a statement a couple of days ago where he said that after the NIT is when he would evaluate the program.
Right.
Let's
start from the beginning.
Should we start from the beginning?
From the beginning. So let's jump to Nebraska. They go to Chicago. They beat Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
They move on. They beat Maryland. That day, we also found out that Nebraska would accept an NIT bid if they were offered one.
Okay.
Which was surprising news because there was an assumption going to Chicago that Tim was going to get fired no matter what at the end of that tournament. I think people expected they wouldn't win as many as they did. Anyway, so Bill Moose wasn't there on Thursday. And we learned the NIT bid. So that sends all sorts of questions. Nebraska loses on Friday to Wisconsin.
Right.
Valiant effort. Man, they were close. Heck of a game.
Down two with the ball a couple times, right? At the end.
Down two. Glenn Watson missed a front end of 1-on-1, and then he missed a jumper.
Yeah.
I mean, just your legs. I mean, he was tired. Everybody was tired. When you play three straight games of 40 minutes, that happens.
So you lose to Wisconsin.
Immediately after the game, Tim Miles comes up to the podium. And I asked him if he knew anything about his job status. And he said that Bill Moose was going to release a statement in 45 minutes, and he didn't know what it said. And so the next 32 minutes were wild, man. I mean, it was weird and wild and wacky. Talked to a bunch of people. Nobody knew what was going on. The players were upset about it. They were upset about the loss and upset about this whole situation. Statement comes out from Bill Moose, says that, you know, they're going to evaluate the program, whether or not they make the NIT, and if they do, then after they're into the postseason. So then Section Sundays last night, and Nebraska gets picked in the NIT. They're a 4 seed. Even though they're 18-16 this year, they're a 4 seed, and last year they were 22-11, and they were a 5, because that makes a lot of sense. But they're going to play Butler. Quick sidecar. Barry Collar is the athletic director at Butler, and he's a former basketball coach at Nebraska, and he was the selection chairman of the NIT. I talked to him today. Again, just wild and wacky things going on.
Yeah.
And then this morning, we've been hearing stuff about Fred Hoiberg for a long time. This coaching search has, Tim Miles has been the head coach, but this coaching search hasn't just begun today. There have been things that we've heard about Nebraska reaching out to different coaches about a potential head coaching spot. Hoiberg among the coaches that we had heard. Today, Jeff Goodman puts out a tweet of what we had heard already, but decided to go with it today that that Fred Hoiberg. Was expected to be
the front runner.
Yeah, the front runner for the job.
When Tim Miles gets fired.
That's when it was like, oh. So then I called around a bunch of sources and they said, officially, yes, they are looking at Fred Hoiberg to be the potential replacement for Tim if he gets fired. Which I'm going to stop talking, and I want you, not beat reporter, reaction to that news, because I just want your reaction to that. Like, what do you what is that?
Well, just all of it. I mean, I think the reaction, it just seems like a lot of shock and surprise from last Wednesday to now.
Yeah. I woke up every day morning in Chicago, thought something way different was going
to
happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like once you went to sleep, you're just like, what the heck happened today? Yeah. That does not make sense. It does feel generally that this process has been rather harsh toward Tim Miles and the players. Now, I don't know if there's any other way to go about it, because from how I understand it, I think athletic directors or whoever's in charge of a coaching search or a potential coaching search, like, you want to do some work early. I don't think you want to go into it cold thinking, well, we'll just find our guy at some point.
Searching starts now.
Yeah, everyone has a list, and I'd imagine when you think that you might have to act on it and make a decision, you want to put some feelers out. A lot of times it's kind of like third party, from what I understand about the business, third party stuff. You're talking to somebody close to the person or reaching out to the agent. Maybe it's not you, the athletic director, doing it yourself, but somebody else on your behalf. And so there's just some conversations going on to see who's interested and who isn't if you were to make a move, if you went down that path. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to or that you intend to.
Yeah.
But you're doing it just in case. You're sort of doing your due diligence to make that happen.
Quick sidebar. I mean, this is what Bill Moos did with Scott Frost. He asked Matt Davidson to look into Scott Frost in like October, before when Mike Riley was still there. So like, even though Bill Moos, quote unquote, decides on the fate of the coach after the season and does a full evaluation, he had kind of accepted that Mike Riley wasn't going to be the head coach.
Well, I mean, what
in
if
September? So I
what if Mike Riley's team would have gone 10-2
Sure.
And won the Big Ten.
Sure.
Then maybe you, okay, well, maybe we should reevaluate whether Mike Riley fits this job.
Right.
If Tim Miles wins the Big Ten or wins the Big Ten tournament, it's like, well, maybe we got to figure something out here.
Yeah.
But if not, then you got to be ready to act.
Yeah.
And so I think I understand why these types of conversations go on. But it's surprising that we hear about them.
Yeah.
I think. I think it's surprising that it's out there and it's, it's I would imagine pretty tough on the players and awkward and odd to have to still compete and practice and kind of try to go about your business like everything's normal, but it's definitely not.
Yeah.
Because your coach's boss is, I mean, it's now public that he's looking elsewhere. So that's tough.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say reaction as well. It's like Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
To me is a name that, I mean, I'm surprised.
Everybody knows that name. Everybody in the college basketball world knows that name.
I think when UCLA fired Steve Alford at midseason, I think Fred's name was, if not the first, one of the first names to come up. And so Fred Hoiberg, to me, is a top-tier head coaching candidate in college basketball. And so for Nebraska, which, you know, was made two NCAA tournaments in 2 decades, to be linked to this guy, like, that to me is really impressive.
Yeah.
And it says something about what Nebraska wants to be.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd the way that this whole thing's been handled.
Yeah, this whole thing, my main point I'm trying to get, and I maybe stumbled through it, it was just like, we are now in such a weird, awkward next couple days where you've got these reports about, you've got these people, you know, well-connected people that are telling me on, you know, that now they're looking at Fred Hoiberg, and you've got a basketball game to play at PBA on Wednesday still, and you still have a head coach there. Like, it's just this is an awkward situation. I empathize with the basketball program because this isn't an easy situation to be in if you're a coach or a player or a manager or a, you know, the nutritionist or, you know, or the strength coach or the SID. Like, this is not a fun situation to be in. So regardless, that's where we're at now, where Nebraska is trying to replace Tim Miles with Fred Hoiberg, who was born in Lincoln, has a lot of connections to Lincoln. His family's still there. He's got family here in Omaha. Would be blockbuster hire that people would go crazy about if they end up deciding to fire Tim Miles. And so people's pipe dreams that they've really wished for the last 3 months
could come true.
Yeah.
My thought is that I think it might be difficult for a program like Nebraska to hire someone like Fred Hoiberg if you didn't reach out ahead of time to try to, like, plant those seeds or put feelers out. Like, yeah. I feel like coming in cold to a coaching search is difficult.
Yeah.
And so I'm not surprised to hear that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that there's interest on both. I'm surprised that Fred Hoiberg's interested. I am, but I'm not surprised that Nebraska's tried to reach out to somebody of his stature to say, like, hey, if you want this job, man, we would give it to you.
Yeah.
Assuming things work out the way that they are trending toward.
I think it says a lot for the people who, in the argument of, like, is Nebraska a good job? Is there support there? Blah, blah, blah. It goes a long way that Fred Hoiberg even answered the phone.
Yeah, I know. It's part of me is like, I think I need to recalibrate what I think of Nebraska basketball.
Yeah. And Bill Moos.
Or what I think.
And Hank Bounds. And
just what I think the program's capable of.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I agree. I think one of the most surprising parts about this entire thing is that Fred Hoiberg, who has seen it all, done it all, picked up the phone and is staying on the phone.
Right.
And isn't just hanging up immediately.
Right.
That's a testament to where Nebraska is right now.
Yeah. So the Huskers will play...
Let's talk about something else, yeah.
Well, the Huskers will play Butler.
Yes.
In the NIT, and they're in the same 8-team pot as Creighton.
Yeah, they are. We haven't even got to that.
So we could have a half-court press special.
That would be here in Omaha, wouldn't they? They'd play in Omaha?
Yeah, because Creighton's the 2-seed, Nebraska's the 4. So if both teams won twice...
Oh, boy.
We could have a Huskers-Jays rematch.
Man.
In the NIT. They haven't played in the NIT since 2004. So... That'd be
wild, man.
That would be awesome.
So Creighton would have to be Loyola Chicago?
Creighton's got Loyola Chicago on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And if it wins, would play either Memphis or San Diego.
Penny Hardaway.
Would be great if that happens. And so if the Jays win twice, they're in the quarterfinals, the NIT quarterfinals, and Nebraska would have to beat Butler.
Yeah.
And then either
TCU or Sam Houston State.
Yeah.
So they would probably have to go to Fort Worth. And beat TCU.
Right.
And then they would play Creighton and Omaha.
That's
which would be
possible.
Wacky, man. That'd be
it's
buck
possible.
Wild.
I've got an NIT fever now.
Oh,
watching that selection show. It seemed inevitable, by the way, that Creighton and Nebraska would be close somewhere.
Well, because the way they do... So talking to Barry Collier today, he mentioned, like, we try and make it so teams don't travel way... across the country. Mm-hmm. So it was, you knew that Creighton and Nebraska weren't going to be that far away.
Right. Creighton, I was surprised. So they got Loyola Chicago, where there's a connection there. Porter Mosier, Loyola Chicago's coach, played at Creighton. So that's a fun storyline. But could have had San Diego or South Dakota State, because Mike Dom is obviously a Nebraska native, and that's a short distance. And South Dakota State is a 7 seed. So I thought, Creighton is a 2, South Dakota State is a 7.
Yeah, I thought that would happen too.
That matchup.
Yeah.
Wichita State's in the field. Where are they at? I think they're a 6.
Yeah.
So I thought there's a possibility you could have a couple former Missouri Valley teams facing off.
That'd have been great.
And Wichita.
That'd have been great.
So there were a lot of potentially intriguing storylines, and obviously Nebraska and Creighton playing could happen.
Yeah.
And so
I think it's really interesting too, because
isn't that the point of the NIT too? It's
just
like,
make it somewhat interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, let's have fun with some matchups and see some teams that don't normally play each other.
It's not as perfectly devious and awesome as making Richard Pitino coach against Louisville in the NCAA tournament, which is one of the funniest things that's ever happened on this planet.
It's pretty good.
But wouldn't it be great if Tim Miles in Nebraska had to play Tim Miles, who has, you know, never beaten Greg McDermott. The season depends on him doing it again. His job depends on him doing it again and on the road with a team that doesn't have half the team that they, you know, when they beat Creighton by 20. That would be so good. And it would, like, close the circle on the story of us at the end of this podcast picking who would win.
Honestly, if Creighton
it's amazing.
Right, if Creighton and Nebraska play in the NIT, we might have to shut down the podcast.
Seriously.
Because it's just like,
it's perfect.
It's the end of this.
Yeah.
We started it at the beginning of the season. They played again. It's over. We're done.
It would be.
We have to come up with a new podcast after that.
It would be the full court press. And it would be.
Right.
No, it'd be Mav Court Press. And it's Mav all UNO.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
we just move on. So. It's the NIT. I know a lot of people are not excited about it. It's not the NCAA tournament. I feel like I look at the 32 teams in here, and I feel like there's probably going to be half of them that don't care at all.
Yep.
And it's hard to know beforehand how a team is going to respond, even a Creighton or a Nebraska, who at least for Nebraska last week, obviously that played pretty well, maybe found something. Creighton had seemed to find something before it played Xavier in the Big East tournament. But I don't know. You know, the mental state is always tough to gauge going in.
How do you think Creighton will deal with it? Like, do you think that they'll actually
want to
play?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I'm same with Nebraska. Like, I think that they'll... With Creighton, they had a real chance. Like, they were actual bubble.
Yeah.
So that to me, means that they'll be even less enthused to play.
You would
in
think.
This.
I mean, they went into Sunday, obviously knowing that the chances weren't great, but there was still a chance.
Yeah.
And so, to fall short of your goal, that stings.
Yeah.
And then the consolation prize is the NIT, but it just doesn't feel...
Yeah.
You were never talking about the NIT until the selection show was over.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, now we are going to try to... focus on trying to win the NIT. And so I don't know, I think that's just a tough turnaround mentally, especially for a team that's younger, that knows that there's more basketball ahead of it.
True. Yeah,
after this year.
Yeah,
if it was a veteran team that
this is their last ride together, yeah,
which may be beneficial for Nebraska,
maybe. Yeah,
but then you have this whole sort of like Tim Miles job status cloud that's just like
hovering
over.
I think this goes
program.
One of two ways for Nebraska. I think that they go on a run because they're like, you can't fire our coach if he's still coaching. Or
it's just the one more death, like the final death blow almost.
Right. Or it's like this team hasn't really dealt with weird things this season. Like when Copeland went down, they kind of stopped playing against Ohio State, and then they didn't play well at Rutgers because of that. And like mentality and you know what I mean? Like kind of how they deal with stuff hasn't been great. So do they deal with all of this noise and all of this craziness terribly?
Right.
Now, I will say, when I talked with Glenn Watson and Isaiah Roby after the game, they seemed genuinely like, we'll play. Like, we'll be ready to play. We just want to play together. So that's encouraging because you want to see them actually fight. But when the game turns on, you're playing in these weird rules. You've got a different three-point line and a different offensive rebound clock, and it's like fouls reset at the end of 10 minutes. And so at a certain point, you're just kind of like, you know what? This is dumb.
Yeah, it almost feels gimmicky.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll play hard, maybe.
Yeah, or you're thinking,
if things start well, maybe
maybe
that's what it boils down to. If you find a way to win game one, then you can build some momentum off that and go on a run.
Or you go, you know what? It's spring break, and I'm tired, and I've played a lot of basketball, and I kind of just want to go to the beach this weekend, so I don't really want to fight down 15, you know? Yeah. So it'll go one of two ways, I have no idea which way it'll go.
And it's not just the case for Creighton and Nebraska, it's the case for every team in this field. You can pull out any matchup and be like, I don't know if that team, and that team's going to be ready to play, is that team? I don't know, we'll find out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like bowl games. Almost.
Yeah, kind of.
You know.
Speaking of, there was an Arkansas player who declared for the NBA draft early because he didn't want to play in the NIT.
Right.
So that's going to be a thing now.
That will be a thing.
Yeah. So it is like a bowl game, too, where teams are like, I'm gum.
NIT are the new bowl games. Yeah. The Outback Bowl. We got a lot of Outback Bowls going on right now.
A lot of Birmingham Bowl.
If only those games would change the rules. What do you think about these rules? Are you intrigued to see?
No, I'm not even remotely okay with it. Like, just...
The idea of making the college basketball game more like the NBA game doesn't make sense to me.
Or even like Europe. That's what they're trying. I mean,
it's the college game is the college game. Why not just let it be?
Keep it perfect. I guess my thing is when I watch college basketball, I don't think, man, these 3-point lines need to change. You know, I mean, do any of these changes, in your opinion, fix any problems that are currently happening in college basketball?
I don't know. I mean, the extended 3-point line and the extended paint will, I would imagine, space the floor a little bit more and would lead to more scoring. So it'll be more appealing to fans, I would guess.
Yeah.
Everyone wants more points, I think, right? So maybe that's part of the reason. They've talked about this kind of stuff for a while. Is it too easy to hit threes? I don't feel like it is.
No, boo-hoo. A lot of people are making threes. Oh, that's no. Right. Man, hate watching great teams hit threes.
There might be an argument to say, like, all right, well, we have all these college players who are eventually, not all of them, but a lot of them are the top tier of these players are going to play in the NBA, so why not prepare them for the next level?
Mm-hmm.
Use the college game as a way to get them ready for it. But I think that... I don't know. I think it's you can still do that.
Yeah.
Even without having the exact same rules as the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be fine. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it. But like that part of it, being like, why did the shot clock change? Oh, because there's new rules. Oh, I'm covering the NIT, huh? Oh, interesting. Like it's almost like a constant reminder to the players that they're not in the NCAA tournament.
A little bit.
Like oh, I got to rebound. Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yikes, beach sounds cool, doesn't it?
I don't like the no one-on-ones anymore.
Yeah, I don't
feel like that's purely college. I want someone to miss a front end of a one-on-one in a crucial situation.
That's what happened with Nebraska.
I enjoy watching that.
You enjoy watching Glenn Watson be sad.
Well, not Glenn specifically, but
I know.
The impact of it
adds
drama.
Right.
All right, so we're going to get out of here, but let's look at this NCAA bracket.
Did you want to talk Creighton more at all? I feel like we kind of covered
it. We did do a lot of Nebraska, but that's all right. I mean, the Jays missed out on the NCAA tournament, and it wasn't a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
They had 5 games that they lost that were close.
Yeah. Do you think 1 or 2 more wins and they're probably in?
You flip 2 of those and they're probably in.
True.
But they didn't do it. And there were a lot of reasons for it, but I think we kind of saw the writing on the wall in February when that losing streak, the second one, was playing out and Creighton was missing opportunities, and just kind of felt like that was going to be the story of the season. And the Jays did a very good job of rebounding from that and trying to rewrite the narrative, and they almost did it. It just came up short against
Xavier. That's right. They were very, it was very close to being the season that they thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because that Xavier game felt like a microcosm of the season where the Jays showed glimpses of who they could be, particularly early, got off to a good start, hit a lull, got some, took some gut punches, had some setbacks, but then made a surge at the end, and there it was, right? 44 seconds left, tie game with Xavier. There's your opportunity. Season's on the line.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
And they just weren't able to get it done.
Yeah.
So they're in the NIT.
Right.
And now they hope to learn from whatever they can learn from it.
Yeah.
Greg McDermott said something interesting. He had his team watch a selection show, and he noted how they saw all these teams celebrating, and they know how close they were.
Mm.
And you think about one game going the other way or 2 games going the other way. I mean, we're talking about potentially 5 or 6 plays.
Right.
If they're different.
Yeah.
Maybe even less than that. Maybe 2 or 3 plays if they're different.
Yeah.
Someone hits a free throw at Villanova or the turnover. You touch the ball on an inbounds pass. I mean, that might be it.
Yeah.
That's two game flip. Suddenly you're in the NCAA tournament. Like those types of things.
That's a good coaching move too. Make them watch it.
Right. Maybe that'll resonate.
Yeah.
And then, when you say it a year from now, this play matters, or like, this is important.
They're like, it is.
Yeah, right?
You're right. I remember watching the selection show and being really sad.
Right. You hope, but I don't know if I don't know if it sits like that.
Or they're like, you know what? The beach sounds good.
Right. The beach does sound good, by the way.
The beach does sound
fantastic. All right, NCAA tournament.
Yeah. It's
boop,
here.
Boop. You got a Final Four for me?
I do.
Who you got coming out of the East?
Duke.
I got Michigan State.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game.
Do you have an upset? A team to watch?
East? I got Belmont in the Sweet 16.
I got Belmont too. Well, I don't think I picked them to beat LSU. I got them winning. That's the trendy pick. I think I picked Liberty to beat Mississippi State. Mississippi State feels like a
I don't love Liberty.
Yeah, I know. I agree. They feel like a slightly overseeded 5.
But Belmont's one of those teams where they get in and everyone gets mad, but then they make the Sweet 16 and then everyone forgets why they were mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they could maybe. I mean,
but it's also very trendy, and sometimes those trendy upsets
they
don't
never
always
work out.
Sometimes they do, but
Duke's gonna come out of there, I think, just because with Zion back, they're pretty good.
I feel like the
Michigan
West.
Michigan State's gonna be good.
Yeah, I got Michigan State going out of it. Anyway, who knows? The West. I feel like it could be wacky.
Oh, West is gonna be wild. It's gonna be wet and wild for sure. I have Texas Tech coming out of here.
Tech? Oh, that's not a bad pick. I picked Buffalo.
Yes!
Why not?
Chaos! That's great.
Right, Buffalo. My upset pick, but also
I have Buffalo going pretty far.
Well, not that far. You gotta play in Tech.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay. I've got them winning, though. That's what I thought.
Yeah, you got Texas.
Oh, I have Murray State going far.
Mm, I like that.
Yeah. I don't trust Marquette with my life at all.
Well, they're playing poorly right now. So.
And, John Morant's pretty great.
Yeah.
I've got Texas Tech. I love Texas Tech. I think Chris Beard's one of the best coaches in the country right now.
No doubt. In the South?
Yeah. This is a weird
one. I messed up and picked Virginia.
That's fine.
I didn't mean to, but I don't know. I just like it. I like the drop.
I actively root against Virginia. If you are a boring basketball team, then you don't deserve.
But they got a couple fun players.
I know. I get it. I understand.
DeAndre Hunter.
I know.
Ty Jerome. Kyle Guy.
I have them in the Final Four.
Oh, do you?
But I don't love it. All right. Because I don't trust Purdue. That loss in the Big Ten tournament kind of scared me away.
And they got to play Villanova basically on its home court out in Connecticut. That's not going to be fun.
Oregon, I think, could be fun. Oregon, Virginia. They're probably going to beat Wisconsin. My wife and her family think that K-State's going to beat UC Irvine, and I don't have the heart to tell them that I'm not sure.
I know. I think I've got Irvine, too.
Yeah, but I think Virginia out of that.
I think Cincinnati might be the team to watch. I feel like they're kind of underseeded.
Yeah.
But getting by Tennessee will be tough. But they do kind of have like that home court thing. I don't know how much that matters or not.
Yeah.
But it feels like it does.
Midwest is going to be fun.
Field's really loaded. Like,
yeah.
This is a good. I think Kentucky maybe is my team out of here.
I got North Carolina coming in.
That's fair.
I've got KU losing in the first round. Book it.
Me too.
Put money on it.
Me too.
It's the worst KU team I've seen in years. They're
and they
terrible.
Do struggle with teams that like to shoot the three. So Northeastern.
They're young. They don't like. I think Bill Self every night stares at his wall. And just takes a deep sigh and is like, man, I can't wait till the season's over. I hate this team. I have Wofford beating Kentucky.
Do you?
I don't love it, but I kind of love it. That bottom part of that, I have no idea. I don't trust Houston. I don't trust Iowa State. I like Seton Hall, and I don't like John Calipari. So that's why Wofford's going to the Elite Eight.
So you're picking Wofford. Yeah, I think I picked New Mexico State to win.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I got Ohio State.
I wanted to pick Ohio State to the Sweet 16, but I'm like, can I really trust Ohio State? It hasn't necessarily been that consistent all year.
Two things. One, you've got the Chris Holtmann factor. He's a good March coach.
True, yeah.
You also, I love doing this, picking a 12 and a 13 in the same like game so they can play each other.
So they play each other, yeah. Right. And that's what I did. New Mexico State, Northeastern.
I might have to do it.
Probably won't happen.
I watched about 3 minutes of the Auburn-Kentucky game, and Auburn hit like three threes in a row, and I was like, all right, cool, they're good. Like, doesn't matter who they're playing.
That's the thing, is like, it doesn't make sense to pick against Auburn because they're rolling right now, playing, going into the tournament, but then again, it's like...
That's exactly what you should.
That's what they want you to think.
Yeah. So who are your Final Four?
I have Buffalo, Kentucky, Virginia, Michigan State.
That's great. I've got Duke, Tech, Virginia, North Carolina. I've got North Carolina and Duke in the national title, and I've got North Carolina cutting down the nets.
I got Virginia, Michigan State, Virginia winning it all. Probably neither of what we just said will happen.
No, nothing's going to happen that we just said.
But it
would be cool for Virginia. They can get over the UMBC stuff. I still haven't bought my t-shirt, but man, I want to buy 100 of them because that was still one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But they're kind of on a revenge tour and upset.
You would think.
So you could see them. And Villanova came out of that side last year. So then the top right.
I'm so happy it's March.
Me too.
I've never watched an NIT game from start to finish, I don't think. But I'm going to on Tuesday. And I'm going to love it. I'm going to go in. With a full and open mind and just ready to embrace it.
Okay.
Nebraska or Creighton?
Creighton.
I got Creighton too. Maybe we can see it happen. We'll be back next week to reset and figure things out. We'll try anyway.